a good horse jockey.
Emol Achamol. Just read the bold.
Emol Achamol, the Mephashim. Ella, the Hema, Klisharis Bavak.
Good. So Milam Achamila only applies in two cases by Klisharis Bahema. We've established this already. Okay? Now, skip to the end. Rabbi Omer.
So Rabbi Omer, Kol Davar She'ein Lo
Pigam.
Yesh B'Emol
Achamol. All right. So meaning anything that doesn't have a depreciation through usage, right? Mila Achamila applies. All right? All right. So what's bothering the Gemara? So skip to Yutes Saman Allah. Yutes Saman Beis now. Okay? Rabbi Omer. Now read the Masifta part. This is going to be a little complicated because you guys don't know any of this stuff. So it says, Rabbi Omer. Everyone have it?
Rabbi Omer, kol davar she'ein lo pidyon harehu doma lebehema uchlisharis. Pikach yesh bo mo'alach.
Okay, so what does Gemara ask? Shalsa Gemara.
Shalsa Gemara, halo divrei Rabbi hainu divrei Tanakama. Shekin aflo das Tanakama hatam she'esh mo'alach mo'alebehema uchlisharis hu nishim she'ein.
Right. So what unifies what would unify the two positions? It seems like that they all, in other words, what's the unifying factor by Mila Achar Mila, right? Whether there is pidyon or not, right? She'ein lahem pidyon. If you can't redeem it, right? If it's unable to be redeemed, why is it unable to be redeemed? Let's just assume for now it is like it's intrinsically tied to the mikdash. If it can't be redeemed, so then we would say Mila Achar Mila applies. So what's the machlokas between Tanakama and Rebbe? Okay. So I'm not so interested in that. It's this. So the first answer is Amarava. See, the Klein got it. This is crazy, right? All right, look at this. Amarava.
Amarava. It could be not here. There's a difference. Yesh habdo b'nehem le'inyan eitzim she. Pitznadev adam le'mizbeah.
Okay. Little background. All right. What do they use to? What do they use to burn korbanos on the mizbeach?
Fire.
That's true. And the fuel source was
wood.
Okay. So imagine. So imagine you go on the Mizbeach. So there were three piles of wood. Right? Everyone knows this, right? Right, Zucker?
I do know this.
Okay, yes. You remember this from Trumas Hadeshen?
I remember this from a lot longer ago.
Okay, but even sooner though. Remember from Trumas Hadeshen? Han, remember Trumas Hadeshen? Okay. So
fast.
Okay, so there are three marachos, three piles. Okay, so now let's say a person volunteers, right, to donate wood to the temple. Okay? That's what he wants to donate, wood to the temple. Now, what's the wood going to be used for, ostensibly? To burn, right? The korbanos. Okay, so the Gemara... Great. Okay, so the Gemara says, the Tanur Banan...
The Tanur Banan, b'braisa ha'omer ha'rei alai l'havi eitzim l'mizbeach. Lo yekos mishnei gizir.
Okay. This is a part I don't think you guys know about. So the guy says, there's a lot of halachas going on here. Ha'rei alai is what type of lashon?
A kabbalah.
Which means no, it's good. A neder, okay. Everyone understand that? Like when I say harei alai, it means I'm formulating a neder, a vow. All right. Now, what's the nature of the vow here? What's the person saying? What's the person saying?
I'm using his.
He now has a key of.
What does he say? He says, "I am bringing eitzim." Okay, so he must bring right no less than shnei gzirin. Why shnei gzirin? Why shnei gzirin? Oh, hold on. Why shnei gzirin? So Zucker, read shnei bikios.
Shnei bikios gedolos kemidas hagzirin shahayu
misadrim
al hamaracha.
Good view.
Vihu letzorech atzei hamaracha shaleihem nisanim hakarbanos al gabehem isbeach.
So if a guy says. If a guy doesn't give an amount, he doesn't quantify how many pieces of wood he's bringing, he just says, I want to donate wood to the mikdash. What's the minimum shear of wood, the minimum measurement of wood? This amount. Why this amount? Because this is the minimum amount they bring up to burn korbanos on the mizbeach. When they built the maracha, when they built the pile, this is the minimum shear. The Kohen will walk up with this amount. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. So again, I'm not getting to the lachos of how neder / shvuah works. But the idea is when a person is imprecise in his language, when he makes a vow or a promise, so Allah has got to step in. What did the guy mean? If the guy says, I'm donating wood to the temple, what does that mean? So we translate that stam statement into, it means the minimum shear of 2x, okay? It doesn't matter what that quantity is, two amounts, okay? Okay, now, skip down to where it says, what do you call it? Okay, fine. So keep going. Let me sift the guy. Okay, we write some muveres.
Muvas. Yeah. Gemara b'menachos mivuar. Shemakor din zeh hu akasav v'nefesh kisakri karban mincha.
Hateva.
Korban.
Yusaris. Why is the word korban extra in that pasuk? Menefesh ki sakriv korban mincha.
Sakriv implies korban.
Okay. There's also another yeser in the pasuk too. Mincha and korban also. But it doesn't matter. Go on.
Uba lamed she this nadvim.
So the Gemara learns out that it's meaning that the guy's making a nedava, he's volunteering to bring, donating wood for the pile. The Chenu Omer.
Chenu Omer, Bahago, Gorolos, Hipalnu, Al Korban, Ha'etzim, Haresha, Ha'etzim, Nikrayim,
Korban. So Eitzim can be called Korban. Okay? Okay. Keep that in mind. Zedas Tanakama.
Zedas Tanakama, Hasover, Shehekrav, Tem, Shal Eitzim, Shehesnadev.
So again, so when I pledge to bring X wood to the Mizbeach without giving the amount, we assume that, again, it doesn't matter the amount. His das is that he's donating wood for the pile that's going to be burning the korbanos. Because you could say what? What could you have said? You could say he's donating wood for Zucker weapons, right? But it's not. It's stam das. If a guy's donating wood to the mikdash, what's the usage of the wood that he wants? You know, what usage does he want the wood to have?
To burn
on the mizbeach. So far, so good. Rebbe Omer.
So Rebbe Omer, etzim atzmam karban hi.
Okay. One second. When you read those words, okay, you should say to yourself, what is he talking about? What do you mean? How could etzim be a korban? What does that even mean? I mean, the words don't make any sense. Think about that. Etzim themselves are a korban. Well, do you shecht? No. Do you do Kabbalah's dam? I don't think so. Is there any halacha? Okay, maybe you can argue there's an idea, but you walk it up the kevesh.
Well, but they have kedushas gof when you bring them into mikdash.
Okay, good. Yeah, but okay, but he could have just said that, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
He could have just said that.
He says sheyachol lahakdisham, sheyu korban gomer l'chol pratav. See, but that's what he says. In other words, when I'm makdish, when I sanctify, when I consecrate this wood, it literally becomes a korban in every way, shape, and form. Okay.
Does that mean it has a moment it's going to be possible?
Well, that's an excellent question. Vim Amar.
Vim Amar Hare Alai Shnei Gzirei Eitzim Elu Alamizbeah.
Now, imagine the person's promise vow is as follows. He says, I am going to bring to the temple two piles of wood for the Mizbeah. He specifies the amount and its function. What has he now done? He's now literally done what? He's now dedicated a korban. And the kohen now needs to burn this wood. Now, okay, now immediately you should ask yourself, there's something weird going on here. Okay, the obvious weird thing is, how could this be a korban? But on a more subtle level, there's a funny game taking place here. What's the game? There's a little bit of a game. Because, well, okay, let's think about it. What are you using to burn the wood?
Wood.
Right? Wood. So you have a funny idea here. No, you are.
I'm saying not other ways, just the wood itself.
Right, so it's funny.
Like, you're not really using anything. That's just
right, right. So my question, so if you want a halachic question would be is, does the wood that you're makdish for as a korban itself require wood from the maracha? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would seem like it does. The pile. No.
The holy flint and steel.
No, let him double down. Watch, he doubles down. Oh, okay. How far is he going to go? Not only is it makrev on the mizbeach unin melach. Okay, it's like a korban mincha. Now, as you know, anything that gets burnt on the altar, whether it is a animal sacrifice or a flower offering, requires salt. That is an axiomatic rule. All right, so you can actually salt this. I mean, you got to give him credit. He's doubling down, right? He's saying, even though this thing is not royal ochel, you're not going to eat the wood, right? Nonetheless, it gets melach. And utunin. Hagasha. Let's use hagasha, okay? It's the same thing, but what's hagasha? I know you guys don't know this. It's okay. I feel bad. In this wood offering, notice again, it's classifying it as a mincha, but that's irrelevant. In this wood offering, what do? You salt it, even though you're not going to consume it. And you also do hagasha. You do this action you would normally do by a korban mincha. So it sounds like he's doubling down. He's saying, how much of a korban is the eitzim? It's so much of a korban that
you do all the korban.
You do all the korban actions. But here's the best part. Keep going in the Gemara. So now, okay. So uvazan nechleku.
Uvazan nechleku tanakama shebenishna rebi kiladvara
ledivrei
rebi she eitzim nikro korban kedush shasam kedushas haguf kamo behema vihesh behem.
Mol achar mol.
Right, so we're not so concerned about meal achar meal in this. I'm just more curious about this idea of how eitzin could be a korban. But Rebbe says wood has kedushas guf. And if it has kedushas guf, meal achar meal applies. If it has intrinsic sanctification, then meal achar meal applies to it. Whereas, keep going, fine. V'yishbem mol achar mol. V'im.
V'im yashav al eitzim halalu. V'l'achar mikan ba'achar v'yashav aleihem v'afilu mea kula malu.
Right. So if you sat on the wood for, let's say it's like a good bench material, and you're sitting on it, you're over mila, and it could be over mila, achar mila 100 times. The Tanakhama sover.
Tanakhama sover, kadas rabona shabi braisa, she eitzim einam karbon, ukedushasam, kedushas vede kabayis.
Right. Valkane.
Ein bahemo achar moal, velo moal, rakharishon, she yashav alehem behutsiya.
So I'm not concerned, we'll see if we have time to take up the byproduct.
Why did you want to make them karbon so bad?
Like, that's a great, right. We have to understand that idea. Right, but the Gemara's not done because then the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba."
Amar Rabba, the Dibre Rabbi, Ha'omer she'etzim atzmam karban hein, aze etzim halalu tuunin etzim.
Achem lahatirin alav. That's the point I made before. So if etzim themselves are korban, then they require wood to burn them. Because you have a good havmina to say that maybe the etzim themselves don't require wood to burn it because it itself is wood, even though it's a shame korban, right? But what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying that Eitzim require, if you make the Eitzim a Korban, they require separate wood to burn them. Okay?
When you burn an Eitzim Korban?
Here's the point. If you want to real justice okay. Question, look at the last one. Vamra Papa, the Divri Rebbe.
Shemakish Korban Eitzim Limincha Umisricham Hagasha Luzbeach Kimincha Osam Eitzim Srichin Kimitza.
Right. you can legitimately ask a logistics question on that. Because what does Zaki do kmitza on? How would that work? Forget that. I'm saying kmitza is by definition, or is, what's the I'll give you an example.
Like
what's the shear kmitza in halacha? So the shear kmitza, it's one of the cool shears. It's an objective subjective shear because it's a shear of your hands. Like your hand makes a shear, but your hand can be a different size. So one can get a big hands, one swines. It's whatever the hand holds, right? What does that mean? Like what do you comates by the wood? Like what?
Are you allowed to like grind?
What's the machlokas between Rebbe and Tanakama about whether eitzim are betekabayis? Meaning, if I volunteer wood, again, let's assume in a stam case, I volunteer wood for the temple. So, like a normal person, that wood is for upkeep of the temple, and it's going to be used for the altar. Or the other possibility is that it actually becomes a korban, right? And then the side question, again, not as important, secondary question, is the Gemara, it's like, why does the Gemara feel the need to constantly double down? It's funny the Gemara presents three separate statements. It could have just condensed it and said, you know what, how much of a mincha is it? It's a mincha levels 1, 2, 3, 4. But it's very funny how the Gemara says, no, statement one is levels 1, 2. Oh, and this guy comes along and says, we'll add another element, and this guy comes along and adds another element. You understand what I'm saying? It's like funny, like the Gemara, if the Gemara was more precise, it would have just said, it's like a mincha because you have to do the following things to it, A, B, C, D. But it doesn't. In statement one, it's A, B. And in statement two, it's C. And then statement three, it's D. Got it. Okay. There's something different about the role that wood plays in the korban.
It needs to be designated to be donated for
the... You're going in the right direction. But the first step here would be to figure out what makes wood different than any other, so to speak, aspect or heksher that's taking place for a korban.
You can't.
So this is interesting that the wood is consumed with the korban, but I don't think that's enough because you see I want to save Tanakama. Okay? I don't want it to be stranded in the middle of the ocean. So maybe you could say like this. In other words,
position's a lot more like tenable.
Yes, like, yes. Because I think Rebbe's a beautiful theoretical construct. Right. I just don't know how it would work. I mean, I think I can answer the Gemaras after it, but it's just very difficult to understand logistically. But let's understand why. So the question is that. So maybe we're going to use the when we use the word korban, right? I'd say there's two discrete expressions of korban. Okay, you could say this korban in the sense of this animal's now been converted from something that's hekdesh into it's been shechted and kabbalah and all the stuff necessary. But in truth, right? I want to say this carefully. Could a korban ever really be a korban if it wasn't burnt? So the answer would seem to be no, right? Meaning part of the very identity of what a korban is the fact that it's consumed on the mizbeach. But if that's true, then wait a second. Let me finish. From that perspective, Shank, what I would say is it's not that the wood is being consumed with the korban. I would argue that it's the wood's consumption with the animal that now that produces the shame korban.
Yeah.
You understand? Okay. It's the combination of two that now I can now say I have a shame korban. Now, that can answer Tana Kama, because what you could say, without there's a few more steps to take, but by Tana Kama, what you could say is that, well, the question is like this. The question is well, I don't know. Okay, we'll come back to Tana Kama. So the point is that if you say the shame korban, the very identity of what a korban is dependent on wood, so then it makes sense why wood itself could have the shame korban. In other words, again, imagine for a second the idea of korban, the abstract, that's where the difference with Tanakhama is. The abstract shame korban can't emerge unless you have elements A and B, right? So then Eitzim itself can definitely acquire that shame. It's as much korban as animals korban. You understand? Together they form this unit called shame korban, right? Okay? Okay. Right. So that's why it can't be Bedek HaBayis, okay? Because Bedek HaBayis means things have, let's say, like an ancillary function, a secondary function. But Eitzim never has a secondary function, right? Eitzim is tied to the very shame korban itself. It's not a heksher for korban. Or it's not like something that helps the korban process. The very identity of korban itself is dependent on wood. Because consumption of said korban can't take place without wood. Yes. But I can answer now why. Oh, let's see if you can answer. With this being the case, assuming you buy this, now the question is, so then the Gemara says, okay, so what are the two things that he holds must be done to the Eitzim? So one of them is, what do you call it? One of them is Hagasha, and then one is Melach. One of them is salting, and one of them is bringing it to the Zriko, the sprinkling equivalent, okay? Like what you do by an animal korban. You would sprinkle the blood.
Right.
I'm just trying to... Right. Imagine how... But it's... But learn this... Okay. Right, this is going to be a little harder for you to explain. Yeah. How would you start by saying melach and hagasha? Why does he first insist melach must be done? Because what does melach represent in korbanos? I mentioned before, axiomatically, every korban require, whether it's a mincha or an animal offering, requires salt. Right?
Enters around with base korban.
It shows you it's roi for haktara. In other words, nothing can go on for the mizbeach if it's not allowed or proper for the mizbeach. And what makes it proper for the mizbeach? Salt. So that's one. In other words, he's looking for the minimum requirements to demonstrate that this thing's a korban. First minimum, it's roi for haktara. It's able to be burnt on the mizbeach. That requires salt. What about hagasha? So you have to know this by zrika. All right. Of all the various avodas, zrika is considered, when you sprinkle the blood, that's considered the most important, without getting into how that works, the most important of all the various services. Okay? So therefore, the korban mincha, okay, so the equivalent by the korban mincha is hagasha, which therefore is telling us what?
It's considered a korban.
Right. In other words, if it didn't have the penultimate action that makes korban, so to speak, accepted, then it wouldn't be real korban. So what are the minimum requirements for a korban to be real korban?
It's just like korban that we bring together.
It needs the...
Right. So what?
The moksha and the essence.
Sure. Okay. Now, but then is a question, do the eitzim themselves as a korban require separate eitzim?
No.
Or?
No.
Yes.
In other words, what he's saying is that if the wood transforms into a korban, a real korban, so the korban must be discrete from that which, so to speak, will be combined with it to bring out the shame korban. That's why you need separate wood? Clarify that point, just so you don't get confused, right? Is that a true AA? In other words, when I take Eitzim and make it into a korban, I'm taking properties that Eitzim naturally have because when they're consumed with the animal, it produces shame korban, and then giving that those properties. You understand? That's what I'm doing. The Kamitza point of the Gemara is a classic trap because it produces guffaws and chuckling and stuff like that because you're thinking to yourself, logistically, how could it work? But that's the trap. The trap is to focus on what do they mean by Kamitza. That's not his purpose here. Right? Why is he saying kmitza is required? See, if you take out the word kmitza, what it actually is, and replace it with, we'll call it X, right? Why is he saying X is required? It's a very simple answer. What?
It's a mincha.
Exactly. In other words, if this thing's a korban, if you didn't do kmitza, then it's not, in other words, the question is, do we need the minimum requirements of what the very identity of korban is per se? Or if this thing's a mincha, like a specific type of korban, well, then you can't miss any elements. So even kmitza we require. Forget how you do kmitza. That's a separate issue. That's the funny part. But the serious part, what he's saying is that, well, the question is like this. Do we say, are we looking for the minimum shear of korban? The minimum shear of korban? Or are we looking for, I would say, not just maximum, but the actual... A korban mincha, exactly. If it can't be a korban mincha if there's no kmitza done. That's why he brings it in.
Nice.
Okay.
And the logistics are
I don't think he can argue with the function that Eitzim has. It's hard to argue at that point. Then you're trapped. Yeah, you can't argue with that. But when it comes to Kedusha Zaguf, what's going to have to say? Say that you have to say, in other words, Kedusha Zaguf only applies to Korban, right? And any other discrete object, there's no good idea of Kedusha Zaguf. So the Eitzim, you could argue, it's true they have a very unique function. So either you could say that there's, again, it's virtue of their function that Kedusha Zaguf emerges. But he can argue, but that's not a din in the substance itself. It's only because of a certain function the Eitzim has. What does that do with the object? Or you could say, no, you could say its unique function doesn't make it part of a Korban, it makes it part of the Mizbeach itself. It's just a chelak of the Mizbeach. And there's a lot of Gemaras that would seem to, especially with the Truma Sedeshin, that would seem to endorse that idea. So Tanakama's not, but Tanakama's resisting the idea of the abstract Korban shame being dependent on this. You know, he doesn't like that.
He's kind of right.